Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. In the Business of Government Hour, we feature a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Karen Cleary Alderman, Executive Director of the Joint Financial Management Improvement Program. Welcome, Karen.
Pleased to be here.
And joining us in our conversation is Ken Bresnahan, the Director of PwC's eCFO practice. Welcome, Ken.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Karen, let's start by finding out more about JFMIP. Could you tell us about its history and its activities?
Well, the Joint Financial Management Improvement Program was established about a half century ago with the passage of the Budget and Accounting Procedures Act of 1950. At that time, it was known as the Joint Program for Improving Accounting in the Federal Government. The sponsors included the General Accounting Office, the Bureau of the Budget, and the Treasury. And the focus was on streamlining and improving accounting operations, which at the time were choked with even more red tape and conflicting requirements than they are today. Over time, JFMIP has been called upon to facilitate solutions to a host of financial management challenges, particularly in while we're transitioning to new technology and processes to help facilitate that process.
Could you give us a sense of how many people are in the program and the types of people?
Well, it's a very small program. Right now, we have 9 full-time permanent employees. We have a number of folks who rotate through on developmental assignments. I'm very proud to say we've had hosted a CFO fellow for every year that that program has been in existence. But basically, our ability to get work done is because we are enabled to work throughout, bring teams from throughout the federal government to participate on projects. We do our projects jointly.
And what are the skills of these people? I imagine they're all accountants from the description.
They're not. I'm not an accountant myself, actually. We do have systems accountants. Basically, the folks we have there today are a mixture of skills, heavily in accounting backgrounds, but I think we have I'm an economist by training, frankly. So a mixture of folks.
Karen, you mentioned something about GAO in your opening remarks. Could you tell us a little bit about the relationship JFMIP has with GAO, other central agencies, government-wide councils, and the like?
Well, the JFMIP principals currently include the Comptroller General, David Walker, the Secretary of the Treasury, Paul O'Neill, the Director of OMB, Mitch Daniels, and the Director of OPM, K. Cole James. The JFMIP Steering Committee, which runs the day-to-day operations, is chaired by Jeff Steinhoff, and he is the Managing Director for GAO's Financial Management and Assurance Organization. It also includes the Chief Financial Officers from OPM, Kathy McGettigan, and GSA, Bill Early, and the Fiscal Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, Don Hammond, and Joe Cull, who's the OMB Deputy Comptroller. This steering committee sets the major milestones and agenda items for JFMIP. But since the inception of the CFO Council in 1990, we've worked closely with the CFO Council and very closely, particularly with the Financial Systems Committee and the HR committees, to help bring about government-wide policies and studies. We also, in the conduct of our organization's mission, for instance, in setting systems requirements, we work with the other related committees like the Human Resources Technology Committee and the Personnel Payroll Requirements Process and the Procurement Executive Council on establishing acquisition system financial requirements. So we work with everybody who will work with us.
So. Keeps 9 people pretty busy, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, you intrigue me because you said you're an economist. I'm also an economist. Tell us about your career.
Well, I became the executive director for JFMIP in 1998, but that was after I had served about 20 years in the Department of Defense at the Office of the Secretary. But even before that, I served a number of years at the Center for Manpower Policy Studies working for a gentleman called Saar Levitan, where I co-authored books on veterans policy, the transition to the old volunteer force, and women in the labor force at that time transitioning to continue working even though they were having children. That was in the early 70s. Since 1983, I've been in the senior executive service, so I've had a long career and served in a variety of different areas, manpower, productivity programs, civilian personnel policy, and financial management.
Was there a plan to connect those things? Such a wide range. How did it all end up this way?
I can't say that when I started, I had a plan. When I started, I was just so grateful to be employed. But I happened to work for great teachers and mentors who I guess brought me along in my career. It wasn't always easy process because they set very high expectations, but every position I was in, I learned a lot and built on it, built networks, and found new opportunities as a result of it. I can remember going from the Center for Manpower Policy Studies in 1976, having finished a book on the all-volunteer service, and looking in the newspaper about a presidential commission on military compensation, and I called up people I knew and said, "Do they need staff?" and then was hired by Charlie Zwick, who was the ex-director of the Bureau of the Budget, who was the head of that commission, to work on that commission. So it's those type of opportunities that arose in my career by simply working very hard but keeping my eyes open for other opportunities.
Well, I heard a rumor, and I wonder if you can confirm it. I understand you're one of the youngest members of the SES.
Well, in 1983, I was 33, and at that time, I was a woman in the Department of Defense who became a member of the Senior Executive Service. There was very few women and very few senior executives under the age of 40, so yes, I was sort of, if I had thought about it a lot, I probably would have felt very uncomfortable. So.
It's good that you didn't.
Yes, it was.
Along the way, was there any particular job or challenge that you faced that you think best prepared you to be executive director at JFMIP?
Well, every position has been an education. I would say in the early 70s, the opportunity to write about child care and women in the labor force and the transition to the all-volunteer force, these two areas were, basically analysis of major institutional changes and how government deals with institutional changes of that magnitude. In the Department of Defense, there's two types of positions or experiences that I draw upon every day. Continuously. Part of my portfolio for 10 years was managing the Productivity Enhancing Capital Investment Fund. That was a fund of about $100 to $200 million. It varied year to year. But it financed high payoff capital investments that we selected through a competition for based on return on investment, discounted return on investment, total return on investment, and manpower savings. The projects allowed the management of that process gave a real good education on the cost of current processes and the potential for reducing costs and improving mission capability through doing things differently. Examples of things that we funded through that pot of money included barcoding, the introduction of barcoding for logistics in the Department of Defense, chip-based technology to track transactions. This is back in the 80s when this was just cutting edge. Desktop computing, even such things as tank washers, which allowed those gadgets reduce the time to task, the manual labor, the water usage, and pollution. Something, you know, it's vitally important to the troops on the ground who are mucking around with these tanks. Another type of experience that I guess was a real stretching experience was heading up the Defense Travel Reengineering Initiative in the Department of Defense. Now, that was more recent. That was under the leadership of Dr. John Hamery, who was the comptroller. In that project, I was responsible for making it all happen. It required identifying a vision, changing basic business practice, partnering with industry, using electronic commerce principles when they weren't really commonplace. This is in 94 through 97. We also had to change rules and regulations, and that's sort of reintroduced me to the Joint Financial Management Improvement Program, because we went to Virginia Robinson, my predecessor, and said, help us get these laws changed, things like the Telephone Act requirements of 1939 that were still in place that said you had to authorize every long-distance telephone call, even though the authorization process costs more than the call.
That's a good stopping point because it's time for a break. But stick with us, because when we come back, we'll ask Karen Cleary Alderman of JFMIP to update us on the latest from the current financial modernization projects. This is the Business of Government Hour.